This time on Compassion Radio.
We are the minority peoples on this planet for sure, and obviously God cares about every single group that's out there. He designed us to be where we are today. He orchestrated history itself, I believe, to put us in the places where we are. I do believe also that God has a big heart for the peoples that are mostly unreached. And everywhere we go, the believers that I've seen in these countries tend to be the most joyful and the most pleasant to be around because they are so full of an expectancy that God is doing something very special and that He loves them very much.
Well, hello and welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram catches up with Chris Creech, who along with his wife Faith pastored for many years before being called to serve in ministry in East Asia. He and his wife have been back in the U.S. for a few years now and are currently working to help combat the growing oppression of Christians around the world. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's the second half of that conversation.
To be on the offensive in the kingdom means to be in servant mode, going to the places where the need is greatest and bringing the gospel to them. So I'm sensing that there's almost a fear that the gospel can't go anymore to where people feel like it should go. Is that the way you're sensing the people that have been in this field for a while are experiencing this kind of persecution?
I would say that despite this threat, I don't want to say exactly the opposite is taking place, but I would say there is a confidence in the Lord that is taking place.
Very good.
We saw in various churches evidence of extreme rejoicing in the Lord, almost like the Acts 4 event where the apostles were glorifying and rejoicing in the Lord because they've been considered to be attacked for the name of Jesus. So okay. We saw that very clearly. We did not see evidence of people who were backing down at all.
Very good.
Well, one particular story, if you have time, I'll share it. Well, I can't give any details.
Of course
but,
not.
this was an amazing situation that we were aware of. And keep in mind that everyone in this region is aware and believe the eye in the sky from the big country is watching them wherever they go and whatever they do. They believe and have been told, whether it came from the consulate or it's true or not, they believe that through facial recognition software and the eye in the sky, they can be found within 3 minutes wherever they are. Despite this, here was a remarkable account we saw. We went to a church that the language of the big country, and consisted of almost entirely nationals from the big country who had come to this particular area. We attended the worship, and we met the pastor who was there. And this pastor, we learned later, had been either expelled or left on his own from the big country because of the danger to him. Hmm. He had been the pastor of the largest house church in the capital city of the big country. So he was a man of some recognition and notoriety. He had come to this city in Southeast Asia. He'd become the pastor of a church for nationals, and we were entranced by what we saw because there was a wonderful worship service, and after the traditional meal, which you know occurs in those churches always. Immediately after the traditional meal, the area, the meeting place was cleared, tables were set up with chairs, and about 25 or 30 young men, nationals from the big country, suddenly came into the room. We had not seen them previously. They sat down. They were there for training, and they were new believers. The goal and intent was to help them, enable them in ministry in the future. Very dangerous thing, what he was doing.
Interesting.
Now, these individuals all came from one major city in the big country, and they were going to return to that major city in the big country. And what was most telling to us was a video that he showed that showed the 30-year-ago rebellion that occurred in the square in the capital city of the big country, because the people in this country are unaware of what took place 30 years ago. It is hidden from them.
Indeed.
So this was shown to them, and we had opportunity to talk with many nationals and to interact with them and to gain greater insight into what they'd gone through and the things they had happened. I still remember talking to one particular individual saying, do you think this could ever happen again, what happened 30 years ago? And this individual paused for a second and then shook the head up and down to say, she, yes, but also said maybe. So in other words, there's a great deal of event taking on in the big country. I do not sense that this latest round of persecution has had a notable effect upon the missionary activity. It's kind of a time of regrouping. What is the Lord doing? What is he calling us to do? And a clear recognition that God's in control, these things have happened for a reason, and that old statement of Tertullian, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. They're very well aware of that, and we saw not a reluctance to continue ministry, but a determination to continue in whatever direction the Lord is now leading.
Okay, Chris, for the assessment you've just given, that gives me great comfort, because I would be mostly concerned about their discouragement. And what you're saying is what we've always hoped for. When the persecution hits, and it's just beginning in many ways, it's a technical persecution right now, as the awareness of this surveillance state grows amongst those who are being surveilled, that they're not shirking back from their responsibilities to the gospel or from their joy in the gospel, but they're doing exactly what the New Testament Christians always did, which was to respond with the threat as one of those opportunities to suffer for Christ. And knowing that that will happen, knowing too that the promise of God's presence would not be taken from them. And that's something we have a hard time understanding in the West. Those who face persecution almost look forward to it with anticipation and joy because they know that God will show up. And in doing that, they get to experience him firsthand like many others never get to do. I know that's kind of an oxymoron. It's a paradox, but it's true. And it's been true in the scriptures ever since they've been given to us. Read for me into the future, the tea leaves a bit here, friend. What do you think is in for the believers in Southeast Asia and from the big country, and how should we be lifting them up in prayer here in the West?
Bram, we did not see any discouragement. I wouldn't say it's not there. We didn't see it. The biggest immediate concern was how do people get a visa to stay in this country? In other words, what's their next step? And there was some concern about that. But, you know, the Lord knows, I certainly don't, and you don't, but I foresee an explosion of the gospel in the entire region. These missionaries are in the country, which is largely unreached, and God has brought them there for a purpose. I envision an explosion of the gospel in that particular country, which is really unreached. And I also expect to see an explosion of the gospel throughout the big country. And the other country in Asia that we've not talked about, which is also seeing some missionaries not expelled, but leaving because of danger to themselves. They've also come to that region as well. The two biggest countries in Asia I'm speaking of. These events, I think, are orchestrated by the Lord, and I expect to see a great harvest, very significant, not only in the big country, but also in the second big country and in Southeast Asia, which has largely been unreached. So I think that's coming.
Well, largely unreached is a matter of exponential numbers. We think in the West of millions being reached. You can't even begin to talk about the peoples of Asia without talking in the billions.
Yeah, that's right.
And we know that the vast majority of humanity lives between the zero meridian and going east from there about a third of the way around the world. We are the minority peoples on this planet for sure. And obviously God cares about every single group that's out there. He designed us to be where we are today. He orchestrated history itself, I believe, to put us in the places where we are. I do believe also that God has a big heart for the peoples that are mostly unreached. And everywhere we go, the believers that I've seen in these countries tend to be the most joyful and the most pleasant to be around because they are so full of an expectancy that God is doing something very special and that he loves them very much. They don't look with disdain on their own home cultures. They realize that God is up to something and it's all for their good.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's broadcast is coming up right after this.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular faithful mission giving. and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our Vision Team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our Vision Team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal? Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
I look up to the mountains, to the hills I turn my eyes. Who will come to help me? Can I find a place to hide? Trouble you are found, and your very soul is threatened by the evil all around. In all of your ways and in your troubles, great and small, now and ever after, He will not let you fall. Oh, He will not let you fall. Oh, He will not let you fall. He is never weary, and He will not.
Celebrating 75 years in Christian broadcasting, this is Compassion Radio.
Well, largely unreached is a matter of exponential numbers. We think in the West of millions being reached. You can't even begin to talk about the peoples of Asia without talking in the billions.
Yeah, that's right.
And we know that the vast majority of humanity lives between the zero meridian and going east from there, about a third of the way around the world. We are the minority peoples on this planet for sure, and obviously God cares about every single group that's out there. He designed us to be where we are today. He orchestrated history itself, I believe, to put us in the places where we are. I do believe also that God has a big heart for the peoples that are mostly unreached. And everywhere we go, the believers that I've seen in these countries tend to be the most joyful and the most pleasant to be around because they are so full of an expectancy that God is doing something very special and that He loves them very much. They don't look with disdain on their own home cultures. They realize that God is up to something and it's all for their good. I'm encouraged to hear your report, Chris, about the attitude of those who are coming down. Now, you mentioned before also that some of the people that are coming for training in this third country that is also not being mentioned by name, are they planning to go back right away to their home city, or are they trying to sojourn there in that country for a while?
I would say largely it's a wait and see.
Okay.
Now, some, as I mentioned, this training that the pastor was doing are going right back into the big country. But others are waiting to see what the Lord is calling them to do. We did run into some who had been missionaries from other countries, not national missionaries, but they were intending to make smaller country in Southeast Asia the focus of their mission. And in one case, a young couple that we met who were in a significantly large city in the big country, who had gone out of this small country, gone to another small country in the region, applied for a visa to come back to the country where we were. And if this is not too confusing, I hope it's not. It took them some time to arrange a visa, but they did receive a long-term visa. So their purpose and intent is they're seeing themselves as being called by God to minister in this new country to them. Now, they are not from any country in Southeast Asia. They're not from the big country. But they are Asians.
Well, it seems like it's a multiplicity of crossroads for sure. And I'm glad that God's setting up his people at all those crossroads.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right.
Well, Chris, let me circle back around to the questions we haven't answered yet. Prayer list. How do we in the West pray for those who are in this situation right now in all of these countries of Southeast Asia? What's the biggest need you see that you know that we are capable of understanding enough to address in prayers and have the courage to pray with some authority?
The first thing I would say in prayer is rejoicing. God's in control. He may be bringing about a great harvest. It may even be the final harvest. I don't know that. The Lord does. But we're seeing some very clear movement that is, I believe, orchestrated by God, even though evil intends to overthrow the kingdom. That's not going to happen. The kingdom is unstoppable. And I think we need to rejoice in the Lord. For individuals, we need to pray that God would give them clear direction as to what their next step is. I have no doubt that's going to happen, but I also believe that in that process, people need to be encouraged. We need to pray for them to not lose their courage in what's happening and to remain steadfast in the Lord. The reality is that it's very easy for me to say people are doing well and doing without any difficulty, but the reality is you and I both know that in the individual day-to-day walking with the Lord, we're saying, what am I to do next? These things can become periods of anxiety, and the Lord even uses those periods of waiting on him for his purpose. We need to pray specifically that God would encourage them day by day, and that as time goes on, it would become evident what he's doing in each individual life of each missionary who's coming to this region.
Very good. We can commit to that. And in fact, before we get off the air this time, I would ask you to lead us in prayer for that. So my final question for you, Chris, before we go to prayer is, how does this benefit the church in the West, and how should we view it? What's the perspective that God wants to give us about his purposes in the world in this generation as we look at what's going on in East Asia?
Well, the same effects that I just mentioned upon those Asian missionaries affect people like me and people like you. We have a ministry in Asia, but that's going to change now. The classes that we've been teaching for missionaries is revolving how to avoid Satan's attacks through toxic relationships within mission teams. That's going to change. It's going to be more difficult for us to teach those things. So what is God calling us to do personally? And the same will affect you in your ministry in Asia. So I would say, to a lesser extent, our ministry will change as well. And we have to determine what it is God is calling us to do in that particular situation.
So I'll lump in the American church as part of that us now, and I'll be encouraging our listeners to be praying for what God has for the church here in the West, along with their brothers and sisters in the East, because a lot of things have got to change if we're going to be up to the task of following Jesus into this next big opportunity and crisis that is the second half of the 21st century.
Yes.
So, Chris, do you mind if I ask you to pray over the believers, your brothers and sisters there? Because you can see their faces in your mind's eye when you think of them. So if you could lead us in prayer together with you over the people that you've seen face to face, whatever God lays on your heart.
Yes, Brent. Lord Jesus, I am grateful to you for the opportunity to share with Bram and with the audience that you've given to him what's taking place in the regions where we have had ministry in the past. I'm grateful to you for that. My wife and I are deeply grateful that you give us the opportunity to continue to have ministry among some dearly beloved brothers and sisters in you in that region. Lord Jesus, I'm thinking right now of those individuals, particularly hundreds of individuals we met from one country, not the big country, not even the second big country, but an Asian country where they are having a strong missionary presence throughout the region. Lord, I want to ask you to take care of those individuals. I want to ask you to give them insight and wisdom regarding what the next step for their ministry is. You have clearly orchestrated a movement, and this ejection from the big country is not something which is a surprise to you. Mm-hmm. The same thing happened in 49 when the communists took control, and the result was the explosion of the church, dramatic explosion. We expect the same thing will happen this time. Lord, we ask you just to encourage each particular individual on a day-to-day basis, Lord Jesus. I want to ask you to encourage our friends, take care of them, those whom we have known for many, many years in that region, and those who are new to the region. We had so many opportunities to meet so many wonderful Christian friends and develop new relationships. Lord God, we ask you together in prayer that you will encourage them day by day. Give them wisdom, help them to rest in you, help them to realize that though they may not know the next step yet, the next step will be made known at exactly the right time. Lord, we are grateful to you. We see so much courage in these individuals, so much more courage than many of us in the West have ever had to demonstrate in our ministry. And yet, Lord, we also know there are times of discouragement. So be with them, Lord. Watch over them. And Lord God, we pray that we will see the result of this being very positive in the same way that you have empowered and created a great revival and harvest as the result of persecution in the past. I still think of Acts 8 when persecution came and the result was as the scattering of the church and the growing of the church. And Lord God, I pray the same thing would take place here. We leave that to you, Lord, and I ask you to continue to bless our brothers and sisters in Jesus there. I'm talking about the nationals from the big country, those from other countries. Lord, you know who they are. I want to ask you, Lord Jesus, to protect that one pastor whom we met, whose life is clearly in danger because of what he's doing. Take care of him, Lord. What great courage this man has, that he hasn't changed his aggressive stance toward the gospel at all. He's just changed his location. Lord God, be with this man, protect him, and I pray that you will honor his ministry. There's many others we met, Lord, who are also doing similar ministry. Some are even having ministry in the neighboring countries with neighboring tribes of people in other countries now. Lord God, I pray that you will empower them when they reach out to some of the tribal peoples of the neighboring countries. And Lord God, I pray that you'll just be blessing them in all that they're doing, and particularly, Lord, this country has been largely unreached. I pray that would change now. And I pray, Lord, that that would be to your glory. And we leave all this in your hands, Lord. We trust it to you. And I would add one final prayer. You give Faith and I the next step in our ministry, for it's got to change in that region as the result. We trust this all to you, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Chris, I know your prayers aren't practiced, but you do have a lot of practice in prayer. God's given you a great heart for it, a pastor's heart, and a pastor for pastor's heart. So I pray that God would bring you in faith to the next step in your ministry in a powerful way and fill it with lots of joy, too. So we look forward to hearing what God has for you next. And I look forward to dropping in on you by phone sometime when you're back here in the States again. Thanks so much for being with us today on Compassion Radio.
Thank you, Bram. We appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Thank you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.